spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light. This program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's transcribed program, The Shining Night, was written by Sylvia Berger.
To tell you the kind of man I was the kind of man who would get angry at the lightning. Thunder couldn't strike without consulting me. A blade of grass couldn't spring up outside my design. The world had to fit within the span of my five fingers. Gordon?
Clark's here, Sam. Did you talk to him?
No.
Oh, Sam, for pity's sake.
Pity has nothing to do with it, Ben. The boy is not a lawyer.
Not a lawyer? Just let him get some experience. He'll be a better lawyer than you or I. He made an error in judgment, that's all. Be fair, Sam.
The firm of Gordon and Simon is not in the business of selling errors in judgment. And, Ben, I'm surprised at you. Surprised and hurt. Because if there's anything at all you've learned about me in all these years together, Ben, it's that I'm fair. You know that, Ben. If I'm anything at all, I'm fair. Sam Gordon, not fair. To say Sam Gordon was not fair was of itself unfair. Why, not a sparrow fell, so to speak. But Sam Gordon noted it. If I meted out censure where censure was due, didn't I also give praise when praise was due, large or small, from a well-prepared brief to a well-made omelet?
Thank you, sir.
Ah, your coffee's excellent as usual. Don't have dinner for me, Martha. Mr. Simon and I are dining with an important client this evening.
Yes, sir.
Yes. You've read about the Addison patent case in your paper, I presume, Martha.
The $10 million case. Oh, my, I certainly have, Mr. Gordon.
Gordon and Simon have been retained to handle that $10 million, Martha. And when we've won, Martha, the downstairs can expect the biggest blowout it's ever had in the history of 12 Gramercy Lane.
That will be pleasant, sir. We all look forward to it.
It never failed to touch me when I realized how many souls were dependent upon me for their comfort and their well-being. From Martha, my housekeeper, to Michael, my chauffeur, my gardener and his wife, to the upstairs maid. Then, of course, there was the office staff.
Good morning, Sam.
Morning, Ben. Well, today's the holy day, eh, Ben?
Hmm?
I see you're wearing your sincere suit. Well, that's the way to do it, my boy. Let them see that Gordon and Simon are not only the smartest lawyers in town, but the smartest dressers.
No, my little girl's a brownie in her school play today. I promised her I'd be there.
Well, that's sweet. Ben, what's the word on the opposition law firm, by the way? Any word on whom they're retaining?
No, not yet.
Well, whoever they get, it's all right with me. A good lawyer is never afraid of...
What's the matter, Sam? You feel sick?
Yes. No. No, I'm all right. Just a funny sensation all of a sudden. It's gone now. It's like a stab of lightning.
Maybe you'd better see a doctor.
Don't need a doctor. Isn't the first time I've had these. Always go away. Listen, for what most doctors know, I wouldn't give up.
Sam.
Call a doctor for me, will you, Ben?
Yeah.
Behind my eyes. Like a stab of lightning.
I remember thinking about this day afterwards. If there is a watcher watching, I thought, from up above or all around or wherever it is, what was he busy watching that day that he let me walk? And why did he let us meet, the old man and I, on that blistering street? Inching along behind his cane, burbling with song like some giant fly, some great shabby bee trapped behind a screen, captive in a jar. And what had stopped me from throwing the coin? What had abashed me? The groping hands? The clouded face? Oh, the eyes.
You must have suspected that there was something wrong before this, Mr. Gordon. You've had no warning?
No warning.
Those sensations you told me about behind your eyes.
Like lightning.
And you never thought of consulting a doctor?
I'm a busy man, doctor. I'm responsible for the lives. It isn't true, doctor. I won't believe it.
Naturally, you don't want to take my diagnosis as final. If I were you...
If you were I, you would do exactly as I'm going to do, Doctor. Go to someone bigger than you. Go to the biggest man there is and tell him to save Sam Gordon. Save Sam Gordon. And the biggest fee you've ever dreamed about is yours.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gordon.
You're sorry?
It would be cruel to keep the truth from you. Nothing else is possible.
An operation?
I personally would not care to undertake it.
I can pay...
Yes, I know you can.
Do you know how long?
I am only a doctor, Mr. Gordon. Only a man. But I would say if you slow down... Stop pushing. Take it easier.
How long? How long?
If you do what I suggest, years maybe, Mr. Gordon. If not...
If not?
3-4 months.
I used to have a whimsical thought when I was young. At night in the sky, when I saw a star suddenly shoot by and fall... I used to wonder, when I was young, what was the justice that had hurled this star from all the others? And whose was the ear that heard the stars mourning, if the stars did mourn, for the mighty among them that had fallen?
I beg your pardon?
A frightened face told me something had happened there on the avenue among the crowds. Had I shouted, had I called out, "Stop it, somebody! Don't let it happen! Don't let them do it! Sam Gordon is going blind!" I think it was raining, and I think I was running, but I'm not sure. I don't remember, nor what I was running from, but the darkness and night was beside me, running along with me. And inside the darkness burned a flame. And in the flame there burned the knowledge. And that is what I was afraid of the knowledge that was pursuing me.
Oh, Mr. Gordon, I'm sorry, sir. I thought you wouldn't be home for... Why, you're soaking wet, sir.
Am I, Martha?
Let me get you a pair of dry slippers, Mr. Gordon, and you better take your coat off right away. And your office has been calling you, sir, all day long. Perhaps it's them again. Gordon residence? Oh, just a minute, Mr. Simon. He's just come in. It's Mr. Simon, sir.
Hello.
For heaven's sake, Sam, where have you been? You've had me worried.
Yes, Ben.
Well, what do you think? Going off to see a doctor and then disappearing like that? What did he say, Sam? Sam?
It seemed to me that night, all that night and in my sleep, that the telephone was ringing, trying to wake me, trying to warn me. And I was in a big room without doors, and I was lost. And my mother was outside trying to find me, and she was crying. Or was it I who was crying?
Mr. Gordon?
Here I am, Mother. I can't open my eyes.
Mr. Gordon, are you all right, Mr. Gordon?
Don't cry, Mother.
Mr. Gordon!
Can't you find me,
Mama? Are you all right, Mr. Gordon?
What is it, Martha?
We thought in the kitchen we heard.
Well, I'm certainly glad you woke me, Martha. I have a very crowded day ahead of me, and I'm certainly glad you woke me. Thank you, Martha.
You're welcome, sir.
Martha left, and I sat in my room, and I thought, I'm afraid. And the great dark, with the flame of knowledge within it, sat in the corners around me. The great dark waited, and I was afraid. And then the telephone began its sharp alarm again. Yes?
Sam. You feeling all right, Sam?
I'm all right.
I've been trying to get you since last evening. You weren't answering the telephone. You want to tell me what the doctor said, Sam? Okay, Sam. You don't have to if you don't want to. Look, I found out whom we're up against on the patent case, Sam.
Yes?
Shall I come over?
No, Ben, no. Don't come here. I got up and I shaved, and I started for the office. But I found myself instead wandering along the walks of a red brick building just outside Manhattan. Children were playing in a ring on the lawn. Students with books under their arms quickly climbed the steps to the various buildings. A young couple came toward me, smiling, arm in arm. Oh, excuse me, can you tell me where... Oh, now look here.
May I help you? I'm afraid they didn't hear you. They're deaf.
Well, they could have seen that I was trying
to... They're blind as well.
Oh. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. They weren't offended. I'm a teacher here. Can I help you?
My name is Gordon. I've come here to study the problem.
Yes, sir?
But they were laughing.
Something amused them, probably.
What can they find amusing?
Well, now, what does anyone find amusing? What do you find amusing?
Nothing. Anymore.
I'm sorry to hear that. Mr. Gordon, if you're interested in our school, I'll be happy to show you around. You see, we take sightless pupils from the age of 3 on. The little ones are taught how to dress themselves, how to eat without help, how to walk properly, how to dance.
How to dance?
Yes, that's right. The older ones learn how to read and write in Braille, as well as history, arithmetic, French. Our students swim, play football, run foot races. The course, you see, is marked off with wire, and... Now, in here, we have
you,
our...
You taught those two how to dance?
Which two? Oh, that couple you saw. Well, we're teaching them. As a matter of fact, the deaf-blind learn in a room like this with a floating floor that rests on inner tubes of automobile tires. The floor is highly sensitive to sound vibrations.
Oh, ingenious.
Well, the students feel the music through their feet.
Oh, ingenious. Please excuse me. I can't seem to... The idea. It's so ingenious. Excuse me.
I fled the school. The children playing in rings, the gallant dancers in their stocking feet, the French in braille, the wired race course. Martha! Martha!
Yes, Mr. Gordon?
Get Michael and the gardener. I want them to nail the furniture down in the house.
Nail the furniture?
I want nothing moved, nothing changed. I want everything nailed to its accustomed place.
But, Mr. Gordon... Yes, sir.
And remember, I want nothing movable. I want everything put so I can find it in the dark. I sat in my room, in my accustomed chair, beside my accustomed desk, and I lit my lamp. And I listened to the hammering around me, making things safe, nailing them down, locking them in, nice and safe.
What's going on around here?
Oh, Ben, Ben.
What do you mean, oh, Ben, Ben? What's going on anyway? Why don't you answer your telephone? And what's everyone running around with hammers for?
Pan out. Things are safe.
Safe for what?
Safe for me. I'm losing my eyesight, Ben.
Oh. You know this for certain?
I know it for certain.
I thought there was something wrong. And so you're having yourself nailed into the house, huh?
Ben.
Don't Ben me. What are you doing to yourself, Sam? What are you doing to yourself?
Didn't you hear what I said, Ben?
I heard what you said.
Shuffling along the street with a cup in my hand, singing a song for pennies, for nickels.
The poet Milton was a beggar. Louis Braille was a beggar. Helen Keller was a beggar.
Words, cheap, meaningless words like the artificial flowers on a grave. Go home, Ben.
What are you afraid of, Sam? Hmm? You know you won't have to beg. You've got enough to get along on and then some. So what are you afraid of?
The dark. I'm afraid of the dark, Ben. Now, please go home. Go to the office. Leave me alone.
The dark of night, Sam? Are you afraid of the dark of night?
No. Night is like day compared to the dark I fear. It's good of you, Ben, to try and help, but leave me alone.
Then the darkness you fear, it's inside of you.
A darkness inside of me.
Is it a darkness of the eyes?
Not only of the eyes, Ben. I'm tired of this, Ben. Go away.
A darkness of the spirit.
Depending on strangers to help me cross the street.
Absolute independence is an illusion, Sam. Every man is dependent on his fellow man.
Not I. Not Sam Gordon.
That is the darkness you're afraid of.
It was 2 days later that I got the call.
Sam! Look, Sam, the Edison case isn't going too well. We're as good as licked, as a matter of fact. Can you meet with the lawyers of the other side? I think we'd better try to settle it if we can.
I don't think
Frank is the man we want to get to. He's handling the case. If we let him take us to court, we're lost, Sam. Look, I've made an appointment for 3 o'clock, their office.
Do I have to...
I'm afraid you do, Sam. 3 o'clock, and don't be late. Baker's calling the tune this time.
The meeting was set in the offices of the opposing lawyers, Jaffe, Moore, and Baker. Baker, as the victor, had the right, of course, to name the truce ground, and it behooved us, as the vanquished, to agree. We were a little early, a little eager. But at precisely 3 o'clock, the door opened to the black walnut boardroom. We rose from our luxurious leather chairs. The famed attorneys Jaffe, Moore, and Baker entered. Attorney Jaffe, round and pleased. Attorney Moore saying something with a big smile to Attorney Baker. And Attorney Baker, smiling and quick and certain in his victory.
Mr. Gordon, I am happy to meet you.
Attorney Baker was blind. Men rejoice in victory. But I was a man that day who rejoiced in my defeat.
How do you like that, huh? How do you like it, Sam? Did you see the way he beat us?
You're a good friend, Simon.
And I studied the Talmud, Sam. Oh, did I ever tell you I studied the Talmud?
I'm afraid you have, many times.
I remember being struck by a certain phrase. Sagi Nohor.
Sagi Nohor?
Mm-hmm. Man of sufficient light. That's the name the Talmud has for the blinded of eyes, Sam. I realized then that there's a blindness deeper than the blindness of the eyes. There's a deafness harder than the deafness of the ears.
Early in the morning, I put on my best suit and I brushed my hair and I made myself fine. For I was going that day to the red brick building, to the school for the blind.
Well, Mr. Gordon, you've come back. How nice to see you.
I am interested, sir, in learning Braille.
Braille? Ah, yes. Well, it's a very interesting subject. Of course, you know that Louis Braille, the man who devised this system, was himself blind. Tell me, are you planning to do an article on Braille, Mr. Gordon?
I'm planning to use it to read as soon as I can.
Oh?
The sight of my eyes is failing.
Ah, yes. Well, Mr. Gordon, Braille is an alphabet of dots or points. Now, the points never exceed 6 in number. Each 6-point unit, cell we call it, represents a different letter, varying according to the way the dots are arranged.
How will I read it?
Well, the dots are raised on the paper. You feel them with your fingertips.
And how will I write it?
With a stylus and pad. You can punch out the points very quickly. You know, some of our students attain a speed of 15 words per minute. Our shorthand, too, is as fast as the shorthand of sighted people. Would you care to see a Bible in Braille?
If you please.
There you are. You can feel the letters. After a while, you'll be able to read it yourself. Now, this is Psalms, chapter 139, verse 11.
Will you let me hear how it sounds?
Oh, yes, of course. And if I say, surely the darkness shall envelop me, and the light about me shall be night. Even the darkness is not too dark for thee, but the night shineth
as the day. The darkness is even as the light. The day has come when I can no longer, with my eyes, see a star shoot through the sky and fall. But bright within me is the knowledge that the mighty, falling into humility, fall into glory.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address, with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling, to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting George M. Cohn, outstanding Jewish lay leader in the philanthropic and religious life of Philadelphia. Mr. Cohn.
The moving drama we have just heard holds a message for all of mankind. Our 20th century civilization has tragically distorted our sense of values. Too many men seek security in material possessions rather than in spiritual wealth. The worthlessness of material possessions is ironically pointed up in times of great adversity. Will the largest car in the world, will the social or business attainments or fine clothing, will any of these drive out the fear of blindness, deafness, pain? Will they give courage to a man who is terrified of meeting life's challenges? The parting message which Moses gave to the children of Israel was, "And thou shalt choose life." These words have great meaning today when the pressure of society sometimes appears to be so overwhelming that men prefer to accept lives of quiet desperation rather than to face up to the challenges of being human. In choosing to live rather than to exist, as do animals and plants, we recognize that we will be constantly confronted by grave problems, hardships, even calamity. In choosing to live, we find that we must also arm ourselves with a set of spiritual and moral values that will withstand the shocks of living. History tells us that many great people have overcome physical handicaps, and in doing so, they became even greater. History and the Bible have also illustrated the handicaps of the human spirit, selfishness, greed, pride, which were successfully overcome. Service to others, mutual help and cooperation, these are the ways of surmounting the handicaps of the spirit that ensure lasting happiness. Our Jewish tradition holds no brief for the hermit, the man who sets himself apart physically or spiritually from the community. Do not separate thyself from the community, said Hillel, the great teacher. When all of us learn that we must place spiritual wealth above material wealth, and that we must freely share this wealth with our fellow men, the world will indeed be a better place for all mankind.
Thank you, Mr. Cohn. Eternal Light drama today, The Shining Night, was written by Sylvia Berger. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction, and music was selected by Hal Benhol. Featured in the cast were Edwin Jerome as Mr. Gordon, Philip Burniff as Simon, and Marjorie Maud as Martha. The production was transcribed under the direction of Edward King. This is William McCord speaking. Time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.